Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to your word. We ask you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you quicken us. Enable us, Lord, to hear what you're saying to us personally, individually, Lord, that we may be able to receive it, apply to ourselves, Lord, and seeing, Lord, the power that your word has. Help us to see, understand, and be able to, Lord, connect with you, even now, today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we've been talking about, quite a number of things that are important, you know. And the fact that, you know, last week we were talking about walking by faith, okay. That is really not just agreeing theologically with some statement. You know, it's not a mental ascent that we had to do. It's not based on something that actually we do physically. It's important to understand the faith is something that is a spiritual thing and is believing in your heart what Jesus has done for you. That is the key of our faith. This is where, and it's very clear, we are going to expand a bit more on that. But understanding that is so important, okay, that is not formulas. It's not, you know, things that we do, and because we do something, you know, in the outside, there's something happening in the inside. What counts is what's going on inside you, okay? And that has to line up with what, God says, you know, and we have to understand, okay, that is without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it doesn't matter what you do. What matters is actually that you believe. And you are believing what? You know, it says it very clearly in Hebrews 11:6, says, you know, that it's impossible to please him without faith, because we who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this is actually the definition of what has to happen. You have to believe. Just believing that there is God doesn't help. Believing that there is a God doesn't do anything. Is you have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the implication there is, if you are not seeking him diligently, it just doesn't work. So there has to be that component there, which is the essential part. Okay, diligently seeking him because you know that he is, because he is there, hallelujah, to help us and to minister to us, okay? Now, okay, the fact that we also be talking about the battle that we are in, okay, that, you know, there are two sides of the story, and we are in the middle, okay, of the battle, okay? John 10:10 says it very clearly, and people make it complicated, but it's not complicated. People make the old theological argument and they get lost. Instead, you know, it's very simple. The thieves come but to steal and destroy. And Jesus said, you know, I come that you may have life and you may have more abundantly. So there are two sides of this thing. One is against us and against God, because we are God's creation. And the other one is for us, which is God and Jesus as his son. Okay, understanding that makes all the difference. Okay, don't make it complicated, because the more complicated, the more mental you get into inside, you lose all the story. You go to all the benefits. Okay, and you know, God has been the same from the very beginning. It doesn't change. Doesn't make difference between Old Testament and New Testament. The difference is in us, and in the difference is in what we have today that is better than the Old Testament. But the thing is, God, he doesn't change, he's the same, always. We have to understand that. But even at the beginning, even in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, in which it was still based on the law, you know, says, you know, I call it, he said in Deuteronomy 30:19, he says, I call heaven and earth, hallelujah, as witness, says, again today against you. So it's not just, you see, there's implication right there. Okay, it's not just like, you know, the witness is what you do physically. That's earth. It's the heaven part. It's the spiritual part. And, you know, that part is really the essential one, because God is a spirit. Okay, so, you know, that I've said before, life and death. blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Okay, so he gave us the option. Now, this is not just talking. This is actually a reality. We can choose. We have freedom of choosing what we choose. And he's not going to stop us in any way. He expects us. This is the basis according to which he can reward us, according to what we choose. And so he said, choose life or death. And really, you know, this is really the thing that makes all the difference for us. We had to choose life and blessing rather than the curses and death. Okay. It says that you may love the Lord your God. See, when you choose life, you know, the reason is, number one, because you love God, but also, you know, the fact that you grow into this love of God, because you experience the Lord God wants to help you. He's the one who wants you to have abundant life. Okay? So, you love the Lord your God, and you obey his voice. See, you know why you obey his voice? Because you know that that's the best thing you can do anyway. Okay? Because you love him, you want to please him. Because when you please him, he blesses you. Okay? And this is why, you know, that you do it out of interest. Well, he is the one looking after us, even more than we look after him. Go after him. When Adam fell, he was hiding from God. God went looking after Adam. Who was more interested in connecting? Who was more interested in helping or in that relationship? God's desire, God's will is for us to be connected with him so that he can bless us because we are his creation. And he loves his creation. He didn't make us so that we have trouble. He made us to bless us, to empower us, to give us all good things that we can get. And that's his desire. You know, sometimes people distort that. Okay? And distort that. Even recently I heard some preacher, well known, you know, talking about the testing that we get, that God is the one testing us. And he was playing around with words. Because in Greek, you know, the word testing and temptation is the same. And he was completely wrong. God doesn't test us. God doesn't tempt us either. The idea that he believed that way is because he thinks that everything that happens is what God wants. God wants this world, this is happening. That's completely contrary to the will of God. And the reason why it's this way is because he gave us the freedom to choose. And man messed it up from the very beginning. Even Adam made the wrong choice and was his choice. And God still loved him. He went after him. Adam was hiding himself and running away because he knew in his conscience that he had done something wrong and he disobeyed God. But he cared more about other things, idols than putting for himself. So, and the Bible says very clearly that. In James chapter 1 verse 13 says, let no one say that he is tempted or tested or whatever you want to call it, I am tempted by God. What language you had to write in to explain that is pretty straightforward. Okay? We cannot say that. That saying that is wrong. Okay? Okay? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Okay? But each one of us tempted when we are, okay, the temptation comes, we are drawn away by his own desires and enticed See, our desires blind us so that we fall into the temptation and we go after the things. What you look at, you give power. That's a principle we have to understand. If we are looking at the wrong thing, if we are mixing with the wrong people, if we are exposed to the wrong thing, we are going to be connecting with those things, and maybe desire comes in the wrong direction, in those directions, and we are going to be sucked in because those things become big and become producing emotion inside ourselves, desires and so on, and we are going to be pulled into toward that, and God becomes smaller inside us, and we fall into the wrong thing. So that is going to block us from being able to stay connected with God, just exactly in the same way it happened with Adam and Eve. Don't tell me that God was a plan, the Garden of Eden, and they're giving all those things to Adam just so that he could put the testing on him so that he would fall. His plan wasn't that. But it wasn't a question of plan A or plan B or whatever. God knew it beforehand because he knows all things, but his desire was to bless them. And they lost the blessing because of the wrong choice. The same choice we have today. And we sometimes fall because we are looking at the wrong thing instead of being connected with God. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is the deception that comes inside us because our feelings are drawing us or pushing us in that direction because we start wanting those things. Praise the Lord. See, you don't need even the devil to come and try to tempt you. Just the circumstances around you are enough to bring it about. And if there is something inside you that is ascendant toward those things, and you focus on them, you're going to be pulled in. This is why, is what we have to learn to do, is to prepare, connect with God, stay close to him, and not be connected with the things that are going to be affecting us in a negative way. We can use preemptive strategies to actually overcome. If you go to the wrong places, mix with the wrong people, are exposed to the wrong thing, change that. Because you are going to struggle to be able to stay close to God, no matter who you are. Praise the Lord. You have to make an effort to be close to God because the world has an influence on you and your flesh is there present all the time. Now, you see, that's why Jesus came. See, Jesus came, and in the Old Testament was worse, because they didn't understand things properly, number one. Second, they were missing something important. The relationship with God, although some of them had some kind of relationship, but was limited. Jesus came to change all that, to bring us back where Adam was before he fell. Praise the Lord. See, that's why it's so important to have that experience, okay, of being set free from the consequences of Adam. And receive what Jesus has done for us, dying on the cross. His death on the cross changed everything in the history of humanity. We have to understand that. But just understanding and even knowing about it doesn't do anything. We have to respond. And so if we don't understand that, then we try to play religion. Well, religion doesn't do it. Religion is not going to church or even reading the Bible that is going to do it. It's by believing in Jesus. Believing In Jesus, we have to understand what that means too. Okay, lots of people think, you know, they say a little prayer, accept Jesus as Lord. I think it's not the little prayer that does it. What it does is it's a change in your heart that you have to decide to make. It's realizing what he has done and responding to what he has done. Now, as a result of that, you're going to do things, like, for example, saying that, and this is part of what the word says, but it's not just the saying. The saying is physical. He said, I put before you, you know, I put you witness life, you know, heaven and earth as witness against you. See, it's the heaven part is what Jesus opened up for us. He changed everything because he allowed us to get into the spiritual dimension in a way that before only few could do. Because they had a special call and anointing from God. Hallelujah. Every believer today is better, Jesus said, than any of the biggest prophet in the Old Testament. I mean, that's a big thing, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, these are wonderful things that they did. It's nothing compared to what you got if you are a believer. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Okay? Where am I? Yeah. I covered too many pages already. Praise the Lord. Okay. We had to understand, okay, that every good gift and every perfect gift come from the Father. He doesn't, you know, he's not doing things to us so that we can, you know, bad things to us so that we can respond to him. That's what essentially this preacher was saying. Okay, I will put you some sickness so that on your body so that you respond to that. And you're, this is complete nonsense. This is not a good gift if you give it. That's awful. You know, thinking that way is Machiavellian's thinking. The end justifies the means. That's not Christianity. That's politics, maybe. Politics is not Christian. Look at them. That's why I keep away from that. Hello? Are you following me? See, the idea here is pretty simple. Okay? God doesn't do something bad. You are not justified to do something bad so that something good can come out. Because you are not justified at all. Because it's bad. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. So we have to don't think that God thinks or works that way because it's the wrong way of thinking. Okay? Don't be deceived. That's what it says. Don't be deceived about that. Okay? So now let's see. See, how do you learn? Okay. Well, God desire, you see, is the same principle that God used with Adam. What did he do? Adam sinned, was hiding, he went and started talking to him and reached out to him. That's God's approach. Okay. In just after that, in James chapter 1, verse 18 says, of his own will, God's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That we may be the first fruit of his creatures, of his creation. You see, he took the initiative the same way as he did with Adam, we did it with us, to bring it a step further, to make us to a place, to get us in a place in which we can connect with him. Praise the Lord. See, that shows how much he loved us. He says, you know, we love him because he first loved us. is the one that takes the initiative to reach out to us so that he can bless us even when we don't care. Hello? I mean, that's love, isn't it? It's like somebody that doesn't care about you and you got out of your way, you know, giving your son to die for that person so that they may be set free and helped. That's love beyond everything. Okay? Now, praise the Lord. See, this is the love. This is the God we love. This is the God that is we know. And when we understand that, you know, all the religious stuff just disappear. It's not important. What important is our relationship with somebody that wants to relate to us so much that he did what everything he did. Okay. So, and now he chose us to do? Sending Jesus. Jesus is the key by which we can be transformed, empowered, and receive what God wants to give us. Hallelujah. You know, it's more than what we can ever imagine or think, the word says. Okay. See, in this is why it said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This, praise the Lord. So it says, you know, how we looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, that's the way faith comes. Doesn't come by going and reading the Bible. You can read the Bible and just not look at Jesus. Just look at all the different things and rules and everything. You get lost. No, you look at. You have to look at him. You have to perceive him. You have to receive what he has done. You have to understand how the connection takes place. That takes place not in your head, but in your heart. As your heart responds to what he did out of his heart. Okay. And it's not just the physical thing. It's really the spiritual thing that goes on. He's the author and finisher of our faith. I mean, that's the way your faith is going to start inside you because you trust him, because you believe in him, because you allow the truth of what he has done to change the way you feel about the world, about yourself, about everything. That's how things took their place, okay? And you see, the point is, just looking unto him in the physical doesn't work. Because it's not just the physical thing that he did. It's not by just knowing the history. It's not the historical Jesus that saves you. It's the Christ, the anointed one, sent for a purpose, dying for us. Realizing the spiritual aspect of it that makes a difference. Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, just before talking about what happened when we are born again, says there, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So, you know, all these people at all this period of time were Christians, you know, were going after, you know, the historical Jesus. Who cares? Don't waste your time because there is no power in knowing the historical Jesus. There is no power in doing all these things in the physical. The power is when you connect with him in the spirit and you realize what he has done and you believe. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, we know, so therefore, from now on, this is Paul talking about what happens when we are born again, just the fourth verse before. Okay. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So he's not looking at Jesus physically, although, you know, those things can minister to us. We can see what he did. We can see in the flesh what were the result of what was going on inside him. Okay. Even though we are known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him no more that way any longer. Are you following what I'm saying? We have to look at him in the right way. Okay, look at him in the spiritual way. This is why he went around preaching what? Preaching the kingdom. See, he couldn't talk about really things completely properly because they weren't ready to understand that. So instead of talking about the spiritual dimension, that he actually talked about that even with somebody that wasn't even a Jew, the woman at the well. He said, you know, God is, you know, is expecting and wanting those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is the thing we have to understand. The connection we are going to have with God is not the things that we do physically. Those can be an expression of what's going on inside you. But if nothing is going on inside you and you have nothing, you can go do all to all the things that you want to do and get nothing as a result. Just get from religious activities going on. That doesn't save you. What you do doesn't save you. It's what Jesus did that saves you. And then you respond to that in the right way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, the following verse. Okay. But as we can, I'm going to read here. Just keep reading there. Okay. In John chapter 1 verse 9 was already saying, you know what they say. You know, the Jesus was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So you see, he was telling us, he was what, this is symbolic speaking. You know, Jesus wasn't a light bulb. You know, some people sometimes distort spiritual description in way that really don't make any sense. Now, the truth is, you know, yes, that means what does light do? Light makes you see. So he was the true light. Jesus was the one that actually allowed you to see what? He allows you to see in the spiritual world. Because he was incorporating everything that we need to do to be operating in the spiritual world. He was teaching how to get into the terminology used with the Jews, into the kingdom, because that was the only way they were could figure it out, but actually is in the spiritual dimension, the dimension in which God is. Because God is a spirit. Now, okay, so, you know, so that what he was saying, for example, to Nicodemus, you know, that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, unless you're born again, you know, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the idea, there has to be that born again experience before you can even understand anything about. You know, that's a really strange thing because, well, you know, if you don't understand spiritual things, how you can ever get saved? How you can ever connect with Jesus? Well, this is where, you know, the goodness of God comes into the picture. Because today, the Holy Spirit has come and the Holy Spirit tries to talk to everybody. Tries to communicate the truth. You see, the job of the Holy Spirit is to bring us understanding and revelation. Paul said it very clearly. Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So give us the understanding so that we can look at Jesus, you know, in the right perspective, in the right way. We understand what is going on and we can respond to that. If you don't understand, it's just religion. It's just external. It's something that happened inside your heart that makes the difference. Praise the Lord. When I preach, I always forget the time. So, Praise the Lord. Are you with me? See, this is so important to understand. It makes all the difference in our life. Okay. Hallelujah. He was the true light who gives life to every man coming into the world. So we had to look at him. And when we look at him and we start perceiving him and we start opening up, seeing the things he did, how he operated and functioned in the world, then we start kind of grasping some, only some, of the things that was happening there. But that is enough to motivate us to open even more. And this is when we accept him as the entry point into this new dimension, into this world, the world of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, and we can start understanding some of the things that John said. For example, in the following verse, says, you know, he was in the world, and the world has not made him, was made through him, and the world did not know him. Because, you know, you can't understand, you know, you just thought it was somebody like anybody else. Okay. He gave him his own, and his own did not receive him. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's how they make the difference. Okay. That's what makes the difference. See, Jesus, receiving Jesus. And when I'm talking about receiving Jesus, okay, for John chapter 1, verse 12, which is really coming after the one I just finished reading in, says there, but as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. And were not born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. So you see, this is what it is. The word received there, okay, is in Greek is ekalambano, ekalambano. Lambano means take. And really, take forcefully. Take, you know, and that means, you know, really that you really understand and properly grasp what he has done. Okay? Take Jesus, what does it mean? Take Jesus not just for the things he did in the physical, but take Jesus, okay, from the point of view of believing, okay? Let me read the verse again. We have to reinforce the right thing, yeah. But as many have received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You see, that's the key. That receiving what his name he was. His name is Jesus, but he's not talking about the physical name. You know, when you talk about name in the Old Testament, names meant something, the characteristics, the character of the person. Well, in that case, Jesus means the Lord, you know, here. Okay. Jehovah is the Savior. Okay, so that Joshua or Jesus means. Okay, so the idea is really the, you know, that he was the anointed one, the one that came to set us free, the one that came to overcome, for us to overcome. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus represents all the authority, all the power, the character, the rank, the majesty, everything that he stands for. And we have to understand that when we pray in Jesus' name, we are not just following a formula of praying. What we are doing is taking a position, a spiritual position that corresponds to his position, to his authority that was imparted to us by delegation. We speak in his name, and it's the same thing as he is speaking through us. Okay. So it's not just the formula, it's just an understanding. See, if we don't understand that, then what you're doing is just making sounds. It doesn't mean anything, you're following a formula. But when you have the understanding and your heart and your faith is associated with that, then it's completely a different story. What you are doing here is a spiritual activity, is a spiritual, you are working in the spiritual dimension through your heart and through your spirit. And that produces different results, as Jesus said it would. Now, okay, we can actually truly do that only in one condition. You cannot speak with somebody else's authority if you don't agree with, and that person disagree with what you are saying. You cannot talk in my name if you do something that is contrary to what I want you to do. That's clear, isn't it? Okay? Because I will come there and say, oh, forget it. You can do that. Okay, now Jesus doesn't come there and say, forget him to do that, but he's not going to be part of your prayer, part of what you're praying, part of what you're saying. Are you following what I'm saying? So this is a spiritual reality. We are walking in the spiritual dimension, not in the physical dimension. It's not your word that counts. It's what's going on inside you that makes the difference. It's a spirit that works in us. We are spirit, okay? And our heart is connected to our spirit. Our heart is the connection between our spirit and our soul. And that goes, and the soul is connected to the body. So when you speak in agreement with God, Jesus' intention and Jesus' idea and speak in his name, it is the power that Jesus had comes through your spirit, goes through your soul and get down to your body, and you are going to speak and get the result that Jesus said you would. Are you following me? Now, I'm saying this in modern term, time explaining. Jesus said exactly the same thing in John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily I say to you, that the work that I do, I should do also, and also greater work than this you do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. See, it's not us doing, we are the mouthpiece. He's the one behind us, doing it through the Holy Spirit that works in us. That's why it was important. And he said, you know, it's convenient, it's advantageous for me to go, because if I'm not going, I cannot send the Holy Spirit, but if I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you, helping you and guiding you into all truth. Are you with me? See, that's what's the difference. This is the, you see, we had to learn to function and operate the way Jesus did, because that's what he did. That's the way he operated. He said, I can do nothing on myself, but I do only what I see the Father doing. So we can say, I can do nothing on myself, but only what I saw Jesus doing, I can do too, because I'm lining up with him. Praise the Lord. I mean, this should change the way we see ourselves. We should change the way we see being a believer. That should change the way we get results. Hallelujah. See, it's like why it's so, you know, it's so important. When we said, you know, receive Jesus. Okay, take hold of him, grasp him, you know, in the understanding that we see not just the physical thing that he did. Or say, oh no, he was a holy man. Forget it. Oh, he was a prophet. No, he was the Messiah, and he's imparting to us the things that he allowed us to receive through the Holy Spirit who sent to us. So, this is God's plan. Because in all the detail about what, how to function today, when we start understanding the way he operated, we can do the same. That's what he wants to do. He says, not just the work that I do, but greater work than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. Hallelujah. Amen. This is for everybody. And we had to start lining up ourselves. Okay. Says, well, but he was Jesus. Wrong reasoning. You see, Philippians chapter 2 says very clearly the way he functioned on earth. He was fully human. Although he was God, he was fully human. It's very clear in Philippians chapter 2, start from verse 5. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. Okay. Because he then goes on and say, you know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind is the attitude, the position you have concerning things. Okay. Who made himself, or being born a form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Now, this is kind of difficult to the English way. I'm going to take a different translation. William's translation is easier to understand. It says, though he was existing in the nature of God before he came, he did not think his being on equality with God a thing to be selfishly grasped. But he laid it aside. And that's what he did. He just laid his divinity aside. And he took on the nature of slave and became like other men. So the slave, you see, the word slave there is actually, you know, bond servant, okay, that somebody that becomes slave out of his own decision because he wants to stay with the master. So he submitted himself and be obedient unto death so that we can benefit today. You see, the same attitude should be in us. We have to be willing to be giving to others. Now, okay, Jesus enabled us through what he did when we accept him as our Lord and Savior to become children of God. That means to establish that relationship with God in which our we are recreated. We are not anymore children of Adam, but we become children of God. And that means, you know, that we practically, although not completely, becomes like Jesus when he was created, when he was created, and as Adam before he fell. See, he was without sin. Then he sinned, and so that affected everybody else after him. We can be set free again by accepting Jesus as our Lord. Because he paid for all the sins that we made, and he paid for the sin that we made in the future, but we had to repent for them so that these things are covered by this blood. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He operated fully as a man, and he functioned that way, and he showed us what we can do by doing the same thing that he did. See, we should look at him, you know, looking unto Jesus, and learn from him to function the same way. As he was connected with the Father, so we should connect with him, and as we connect with him, we are also connected with the Father. That's what he said. So that as the Father loved him, he loves us. Just read chapter 17 of the book of John. See, the same relationship that he had with the Father wants to have with us, and this is why he sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so what happens, you know, what I said before, as we believe in him, the same work that he did, we shall do also in even greater works. And this is, you know, the whole New Testament is an example of that. I'll give you just one example here. Okay. Peter and John going through the temple to pray, and they meet this lame person that was asking for alms. And evidently, you know, they didn't have money to give to him. And he was there all the time and was nowhere known. So, you know, Peter Remember, the anointing, the Holy Spirit came on him, evidently. Remember what Jesus said. And so what he said there, he says, Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but as I do, I give unto you. See, something that he had inside. Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. See, that's really the manifestation and the example of what I was just saying before. The same work that they do, you shall do also even greater work than this. This is exactly what Jesus said. They believed him and they manifested the thing. All right. And you know, and when people were looking at the situation, because everybody knew that lame, they was asking, you know, alms all the time, they start making a commotion. You know, start talking about what's going on here. You know, how has this happened? And, you know, Peter explained things to them. In verse 12, chapter 3 of the book of Acts, says, so Peter saw it and responded to the people. Men of Israel, why do you marvel of this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power and godliness we have made these men walk? Praise the Lord. And his name, through the faith in his name, he has made this man strong, whom you see him know. Yes, faith which come through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So this is really the things they should tell us too, what we should expect. His faith in his name. His faith in what he has done. His faith in that he, you know, the faith that is developed in us and perfected by believing in him. As we see him properly. And the more we see him like he was, the more we are going to do the same thing. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that put us, okay, in a place as believers. That is what God wants to do with us, what we have to manifest today. So let's pray. See, there is a part we pray. The part we play is to believe the word. Part we play is to believe that Jesus has enabled us. And we receive it, we take it, we acclamano, which actually, you know, are fully persuaded, are fully strong, are receiving it and taking it with violence. We are not going to be pushed around by enemies. Says, you don't get it. You didn't have it. You can't do anything. No, we can do all things in Christ who strengthen us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, but it's a part we have to take. See, so let's do it. I mean, you know, if you are not born again, there is no reason why you are not born again anymore. If you believe what I was talking about today, the only thing you have to do is to say, okay, I believe what you did. I believe what you had done. There is plenty of evidence and manifestation even in the world today that the same things that you did, we can do also. And what you said is true, that you are the Savior, that you are the one that changes our situation, that you can change me and make me a believer that can do the things you did. And, you know, it may take some time for you to grow into the full understanding so that you can take possession of that. Okay, and even if you are a believer today and you have not come too much into that experience, that's the things that you have to be open to. Believe the word. He was the word made flesh. You know, that doesn't mean, you know, word made flesh. It means, you know, that he received the word, grew in the word, understood the word and start manifesting it because he believed it in his heart. Because in the word are the power is the power of God. There. Amen? So let's pray together. And if you pray that prayer together, you know, if you're born again or not, well, become born again. Nobody's stopping you. The only one stopping you is yourself, because not even the devil can stop you. God has given us the ability to choose. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending Jesus so that I may be a child of God. I've received that. I take that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. I love you. I trust you. I obey you. I take your word in my life and allow it to direct, empower me, and give me victory over the world. My faith will grow by looking at you, the author and finisher of my faith. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done with your blood and your life to give me life eternal. I receive it now in Jesus' name, and I will manifest it through you, through your name, in new power. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name, amen.